Well, praise God. Oh gosh. I have to tell you all that. So I got it when I got the text from Pastor Sharon asking if I would do the lesson on the 7th. My response was a quick sure. Then I looked at the date and it was like 2 weeks away, and I'm like, did I really agree to that? But God is good. God is so good. He always has what we need. He's given me lots of different titles throughout the months and things like that. And I didn't really think that I'd have to use them. But He just poured so much into me with this that I do pray that you are as blessed by this lesson as I was, doing it. But I also want to say, God bless you, Pastor, and Pastor Sharon, because this does take a lot. It takes a lot out of you. It puts a lot in you, but it takes a lot out of you. And it's overwhelming sometimes, the amount of knowledge that the Lord imparts in you, and you start seeing things in a different way. And this is a job, by the way. I promise. Yeah. God bless you all. All right, so let's pray over the lesson before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come together in your house. Thank you for those who are also listening on Facebook or by any other means. I ask that you, your words come out the way that you want them to come out, and that I don't say anything that is not of you. I ask that you just bring like a calming peace over me right now, because I'm very nervous, but you will get the glory out of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So, okay, I know Pastor Sharon says my voice carries, so if I'm too loud, just go. Okay. So the title is We Need the Balm. And I got that from Jeremiah 8:22. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? And I started to think about that, and I started to think about how this world is. So much is going on. And if you continue to watch the news and things like that, it is very overwhelming. Yes. Overwhelming. And so I looked up balm. And balm is a sweet-smelling oil that is obtained from some tropical trees and used to make creams that heal wounds or reduce pain. And, there are different balms for different things that we may need. You have body balms, which can help heal the skin and promote skin regeneration. And for these reasons that, your skin requires moisture. So, and then you have anointing balms. And I thought, an anointing balm? Never heard of that. But the primary purpose of anointing balm or anointing with the holy anointing balm is to sanctify, to set apart the anointed person for ministry work and guided by the Holy Spirit. And that is made with frankincense and myrrh. And then, of course, one of my favorites, the lip balm. Because, our lips are like the thinnest part on our body. So, they tend to dry out and things like that. So you do need the moisture, especially now that it's starting to cool off. It's supposed to cool off, but we're in Alabama. So when the weather in Alabama does decide to cool off, we're going to need the balm. All right. And then, you have your herbal balms. And they're like the purest, most natural balms from the earth, and it helps with the aching muscles, arthritis, burning feet, circulation, all those good things. And I know you're thinking that, like, where is she going with this? Well, if there is a balm for your lips, for your body, for your circulation. What about the balm for your soul?
Amen.
For your spirit.
Yes.
And that balm is Jesus.
Yes.
You know, and so with everything that is going on in the world, I'm thinking we need a lot of this balm, you know. And so the history of the balm in Gilead is just a reference from the Old Testament. And it is about the New Testament concept of salvation through Christ. The balm of Gilead is interpreted as a spiritual medicine that is able to heal Israel. So if it's able to heal Israel, meaning like their sins in general, then definitely if it worked then, it can work now.
Yeah.
Okay? And so just a little biblical background. Gilead was a mountainous part of ancient Palestine, or Palestine, however they say it, east of the Jordan River, corresponding to northwest Jordan. Gilead, known for its healing balm, which is in Jeremiah 46 and 11. And it's actually first mentioned as a precious merchandise coming from Gilead in Genesis 37 and 25. And Joseph's father, Jacob, or Israel, sent balm as a present to Joseph as the Lord of the land of Egypt in Genesis 43 and 11. So with the world filled with all of this chaos, we are in need of healing. We are in need of balm. And this is actually nothing new with, you know, all of this chaos, because we can go in the Bible, you search the scriptures, there's a lot of chaos then too. Okay, so there's nothing new under the sun, as they like to say. And we as Christians, or followers of Christ, know God's word to be true. So when we search the scriptures, we see that these things have already been spoken on. You can find that in the letter from the Apostle John to the churches regarding false prophets. You know, in 1 John 2, 1 through 29, in the NIV, he starts out with, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the anointing, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." See, that balm is not just for us. It is for the entire world. And then, you know, he addresses the love and hatred for fellow believers in chapters 3 through 11. He says, "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person." I had to laugh on that because I usually say that a lot. You know, that's a lie, and the truth is not in you. And there you go. You know, but if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whosoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. The old command is the message you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them." You know, and you think about how the world is right now. You know, there is a lot of darkness, but we can't let that darkness dim our light. Because the only thing that can fight the darkness is the light, which is Christ in us.
Yeah.
Okay? So
then it, I was reading, and it broke down the reasons for the writings. And he says, I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. See, that right there is a blessing, you know, because we know that we have overcome. We won. Jesus has paid it all for us. And, you know, we have to live as the example, because, you know, people will say, oh, you're a Christian, you claim to be a Christian, you know, these things. And there are some people who claim to be followers of Christ, but they don't do what Christ would do, right? But you can't worry about those people. You have to worry about what you do, because only you can be accountable for those things. And so knowing who the Father is, and that the Father has loves you and everything, and you are strong because of the Father, then you can show others. And that's the whole, that's the concept, because there's so much going on. Someone has to be the example. Someone has to be the one to walk in the light so that others can see them walking in the light. And if we can all come together and walk in the light together, then maybe some of this chaos would dissipate, you know? And so he also wrote about not loving the world. And I know that that can be hard for some people, because there are some pretty cool things in the world. You know, if you look at it, you know, from the natural eye, you know, there are these cute little fancy cars, there's nice little clothes, there's nice restaurants, you know, things like that, things that we like. But you can't be conformed to this world. You know, you can't let those things rule you. You know, people say, you know, about money being the root of all evil, that money is evil. It is not money. It's the love of money. It's the love of things. You know, you're putting those things ahead of Christ. That's why the world is in chaos. We are putting things ahead, in our own love of things, ahead of Christ. And so he says in 15 through 17, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So this little stuff that's temporary on earth right now does not matter. You know, what matters is going to see Christ and living well above what you're doing now. Because who, you know, you may be remembered for some of those things, but how important is that? How important is it that man remembers you? I want God to remember me. That's what's important. And so in knowing this, he also warns against denying the Son. In 18 through 27, he says, dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that you have heard from the beginning, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. Not this temporary thing, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you all about teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, not fake, gotta be real, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And so it ends with God's children and sin, 28 and through 29. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born unto him or of him. And so I, you know, as I was going through that, and I was like, okay, Lord, I'm not seeing where this is going, but God had a plan. So then in Luke, am I gonna do Luke? Nope, I'm gonna do 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 15 in the NIV. And this is why he went through all of this stuff with about John for me. Okay, for me to get an understanding. It's because he says, but this mark, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now see that? Say it again, you know? Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Just as, and I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, Yannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. And if you know who they are, they were magicians who opposed Moses. Okay? They are men of depraved minds who are far from the faith, who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all of my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And again, that was 2 Timothy 3:1-15 in the NIV. And I started to think about the world and how, you know, it's talking about people being lovers of themselves. And I'm looking at social media, how people will do anything to get a like from a stranger. That is important to them now, you know. Or you look at how the people are just going around just killing people. Why? What have they done to you? You know, it's all about them, you know. And the thing is that we also have to think that it's a spirit. It is a spirit that needs to be bound. It does not need to be loose on this earth. It needs to be bound. And so I guess that is why I became so emotional in doing this lesson, because I'm looking at the world, and I stopped looking at the news a lot because it started to get in my spirit and it started to make me sad. And I said, no, I will not. What I will do is pray about it. You know, I can't let this take over my life. And you know, I have like so many people coming to me saying things like, oh, you should just get on social media and, you know, you could do this and you could do that. And, you know, you can get paid and you can get likes and you can get this. And I don't mean this in a mean way, but I was like, I don't care if they don't like me, you know, but I also am human. And if I do something and I don't get that many likes, then I got a complex now, because I'm like, why don't they like me? What did I do wrong? You know, you know what I mean? So I would rather not. I would rather make sure that not that I am liked, but that I am loved. You know, I am loved by Christ. You know, you are loved. So don't worry about whether others like you. Though they're not important enough to have you all discombobulated, as my mom likes to say. and so I found in other scriptures where talking about these end days, you know, about things that are happening. And so in Luke 21:5-11, in the New Living Translation, it says, some of his disciples began talking about the majestic stonework of the temple and the memorial decorations on the wall. But Jesus said, the time is coming when all these things will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Think about that. This stuff is not important because it will be destroyed. You know, and when you leave this earth, how much of this can you take with you? Not a drop, not a drop. And it always cracks me up because, you know, you see these things where people are wanting to be buried in their Cadillac. Like, where you think you're gonna drive that Cadillac? I want to be dressed in, you know, in my jewelry. Okay, so you need jewelry? Like, you're not taking that with you. I just don't understand it. Like, but okay. So they were like, teacher, they asked, when will all this happen? What sign will show us that these things are about to take place? He replied, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and saying the time has come, but don't believe them. I don't know if you all have noticed, but there are so many children that are being named Messiah. That, it's scary, you're right. And so I tend to not call them by that name. I can't do it, you know. And I work in a job where you call, you know, people by their names, and I just won't do it. You know, I'll call you by your last name. but I don't want to inadvertently say something that is untrue and that will cost me. So I just rather not. So there are certain names, words, phrases, things like that, that I just cannot bring myself to say. So he says, and when you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately. Think about what's going on right now. You know, wars. Everywhere, it seems like everywhere you turn, there is a war, and it's all about taking what someone else has, you know? So God's word is true, you know? As I'm reading, I'm still, you know, there are still things I'm thinking about. Even while I was doing the lesson, you know, I was thinking about things, but as I'm up here right now, in this moment, the Lord is still bringing things to my remembrance on what his word says and how it pertains to what's going on today. And so then he added, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes. Well, we know we keep hearing about earthquakes happening. And there will be famines and plagues in many lands. You know, COVID. You know, and it's so crazy because I was listening to the news and they were talking about a tridemic. And I know it to be true because I work in the medical field. I work in healthcare. And we've seen an uprise in flu and RSV. And then there's still now, someone said that at the hospital they're having more cases of COVID again. So you're looking at those things and you're like, oh my gosh. And this, the RSV is not just in the babies. These are also in adults too. So yes, this is real. These plagues are real. These plagues were spoken about in the Bible. And if we believe the Bible to be true, then believe that these things are happening. And like you said, the end days are coming. It's not gonna happen right now. You know, like, oh, we're having war, so, you know, tomorrow things, you know, are gonna go away. Because we have false prophets out there. Remember when everyone said that in 2012 the world was going to end? Here we are, 2022, 10 years later. So beware of false prophets. And so he said there would be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heaven. So for these reasons, we have to stay prayed up. Ephesians 6, 8, and 18 in the New Living Translation says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Why, you ask? 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4 in the English Standard Version says, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. But you know, Luke 21, 25 through 26 in the ESV says, and there will be signs in sun, moon and stars, and on earth distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then Matthew 12:36 says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. As a reminder, 2 Timothy 3 and 16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So you can use God's word to correct those things that you may be doing wrong. You know, sometimes we do wrong and we don't know it, because it's something that we've always done, you know, or we saw our parents do, grandparents, but just because they did it does not make it right.
That's right.
So when you know better, you do better. Also, we have to do what James 1 and 22 says. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So you're sitting here and you're listening to what's being said, but you're not doing anything that you have learned. You're just speaking, oh yeah, I know, you know, the Bible says this, this, and this. Well, guess what? Satan knows it too. That doesn't make him right. So don't deceive yourself by just, you know, hearing. Also be doers. And so Jesus spoke about the end days. And he said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear rumors of wars, and see that you are not troubled. For these things must come to pass. And I am reading this in the King James Version. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And these are the beginnings of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and many shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto the nations. And then shall the end come. So with that, I want to let you know that, yes, the world is in chaos. The world is in turmoil. People are loving themselves, and they're forgetting to love one another. We do have a bomb. Jesus is that bomb. Can heal all of those wounds. He can soothe those rough places, but we have to invite them in. The one thing that I have learned in, you know, listening to the teachers of God's word, the Lord will not force you. It is your choice. And everything in life is a choice. Everything is a choice, and every choice has a consequence. And so you have to remember that. I choose to have my spiritual bomb. I choose Jesus, because this world will drive you mad. It really will. And so we need a healing in this world. We need Jesus in this world. They took Jesus out of the schools. They took Jesus out of everything. They basically want to take Jesus out of the churches, if you can believe that. And they're putting these things in the schools that are not like God. And because we have put all of these things above God, that's where we have a lot of, why we have so much chaos. Because I find it crazy that, and I want to make sure that this, it is understood that I love people. My mom always taught me, hate the sin, love the sinner. And so for me, I find that I love all people. But have you noticed that when you go against someone who believes differently from you, that you're the bad guy? Uh-huh. We have to look at these things. I was looking at the news, it was like a few years ago, and this lady, this family had a bakery, and they were Christians, they were Christ followers, And a couple came in, a same-sex couple came in and wanted them to make a cake for their wedding. And they refused based on their beliefs and got sued based on their belief. And I thought, wow, but you can, they can tell us and talk about us for being Christians and we can't do anything about it. We can't go sue them, anyone. You know what I mean? But we can be sued because of our belief in Christ. We need a balm. Yeah. This world needs a balm. And so before we leave here, I just want to pray over you all that you are protected and that you are covered in the balm. Oh, our hearts and minds clear. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing your word to come through. Thank you for allowing us to just sit and listen and glean from you, Lord Jesus. And I ask that you cover every single person under the sound of my voice, whether they are here in person or if they're on Facebook. None of this lesson was to offend anyone, but it was to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And so as we leave here today, I ask that you place a covering on each and every person, their vehicles. I pray that you go before us and make every crooked way straight, that we may get to our destinations safely so that we may meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama, 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama, 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.